your playhouse of favorites. How do you do? This is Robert Anthony Dean inviting you to your playhouse of favorites. Our favorite story today is Rip Van Winkle, which, as you know, was written by one of the first of America's great writers, Washington Irving. Our star, Will Geer, in the title role. Some people have called Rip Van Winkle a tall tale. Others, descendants of the original Dutch settlers of the Hudson Valley, believe it implicitly. At any rate, it's a legend worth the telling. In a moment, Rip Van Winkle. From its place on the shelf of immortal romantic classics, we take down the story of Rip Van Winkle. Had any of you made a voyage up the Hudson River in the year 1770, you would have noticed a tiny Dutch village nestling peacefully at the foot of the enchanted Catskill Mountains. We say enchanted because for many years the Indians had known that these mountains were the abode of spirits. The comfortable Dutch housewives in this village laughed at the tales told of fabulous pranks played upon travelers in the Catskills. They used these mountains simply as a barometer, for well they knew that every change of weather was indicated by some change in the mystic hues and shapes of these fairy mountains. Our story begins in this little village, where it's here that Rip Van Winkle lives. There are 15 houses in this small village. No, there are 16, counting the inn owned by Nicholas Vedder, which he calls George III in honor of the king. There's one single sleepy street. All the houses face on it. Everybody knows his neighbor. Everyone is quietly at work on a sunny summer morning in the year 1770.
Rip Van Winkle, you lazy lout! You idle, good-for-nothing wastrel, take that! And that!
The dishes, my good wife. Mind the dishes.
The dishes, say you. If 'twere left to your worthless self, there would be no dishes in this house. Take that!
Yes, dear.
'Tis your good fortune the Lord made me a patient woman. No other would have put up with you all these years.
Yes, dear.
And not one word can you say for yourself.
No, dear.
Am I not a good wife?
Yes, dear.
Do I not sweep and dust and cook as well as any woman in the village?
Yes, dear.
And you, Rip Van Winkle, what do you but loaf?
Yes, dear.
And that's all you're good for, you shiftless wretch, to hop from one foot to another, mimicking and finicking like a poll parrot. What mean you by your yes, dears, and your no, dears?
I mean whatever you wish me to, my dear.
You do not?
Yes, dear.
Well, what keeps you? What holds you standing there like a great oaf when the fences need mending, the cows to be taken out of the cabbage, the fields weeded and the house painted?
There's much work in the world.
Not for you, you lolloping scallywag, you miserable, graceless idler, you lackadaisical simpleton, you lazy...
Good wife, good day. I go for a stroll.
A stroll? To sit on a wet rock with a rod as long and heavy as a Tartar's lance, or carry a fowling piece on your underworked shoulder while you tramp through the wood?
Wolf. Wolf. Here, boy. Here. There you are. That's a good dog. That's a fine dog.
Father, Father, may I hop, skip, and jump with you over to Dirk Van Brummel's house?
Judith, my little girl, your company pleasures me extremely, but I'm sore afraid you have inherited your good mother's energy. We will walk together.
Father, you don't like work, do you?
It's not so much I dislike work, child, as it is that I find so much more pleasure in other things.
I know, Father. And methinks Mother should not be so harsh with you.
Well, bless my soul, Judith. You're a sweet, true child, but your mother is a good woman, if a bit severe.
And you are a good man, even though you dislike work. I would rather you were my father than, well, than anyone in the whole village.
Judith, stop a moment. Come here and give me a hug. Now we shall walk hand in hand.
Father, when I marry, you may come and...
Marry? What child? You're but 8 years old.
Nevertheless, I shall marry someday. And you may come and live with me. and never do any work at all. Just whittle and fish and live with me.
Bless your lovely heart, Judith. I should like nothing better.
Good morning, Rip Van Winkle. Good morning, little Judith. It's a fine, warm day.
Good morning, Peter Vanderdonk.
Good morning.
Rip, I'm beginning an addition to the barn. By noon tomorrow, I shall be ready to put it up. No man can make a better joint than you.
I'm your man, Peter Vanderdonk. At noon tomorrow, I shall be here. Will you have the tools ready?
That I will. And my thanks to you.
Father, is not helping Peter Vanderdonk work?
It is aiding a neighbor, child.
I, too, shall help my neighbors when I grow up.
Judith, it is plain to see that there's a good deal of me in you.
But I shall not help them all the time.
And some of your good mother, too. Here's Dirk Van Brummel's house.
Would you like me to accompany you to the inn, Father?
It would please me greatly, but I see Dirk running this way.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Judith. Come along, Wolf.
What a pleasant, drowsy place was the courtyard of the inn. On the bench there, you'd always find the schoolmaster, Derek Van Riper, Nicholas Vedder, patriarch of the village, the owner of the George III, Brom Dutcher, Rip Van Winkle, and other pleasant, idle men of the village. There they'd pass the long, lazy summer day talking listlessly over village gossip or telling endless, sleepy stories about nothing.
Good tomorrow to you, Rip.
Good day, Mynheer Vedder.
Derek Van Riper, if you would shift yourself 2 paces to the left, mayhap Rip could find a seat in the shade.
Aye, but it's too much bother.
I thought as much. Tell me, Derek, when you teach school...
It is
you...
unnecessary to stand, Rip. That's why I chose teaching as a profession.
Politics would answer the same purpose, Derek.
Mayhap, but in politics is more hustle and bustle.
And grown-ups are not as pleasant to deal with as children.
There speaks the bachelor, Brom Dutcher.
A bachelor always loves children.
Mayhap, because he has none of his own.
It's too warm today to dispute you, Nicholas.
I hear that Peter Vanderdonk will add to his barn.
Aye. And you said you will help him build, Rip.
Noon, tomorrow.
To my way of thinking, it is most unnecessary. The schoolhouse could better use an addition.
And not until we marry off Brom Dutcher and a few other bachelors.
Never fear, Nicholas. I shall marry soon enough, and you shall miss my company.
Is your son as handy at carpentry as you, Rip?
I know not. He's never tried it.
Or anything else.
He's not only named after you, but takes after you greatly.
Even more than little Judith, I say.
And what say you, Rip?
I have not thought on the matter.
Oh. What, Derek, off so soon? Where's the hurry man?
I see Dame Van Winkle hastening this way. Take no offense, Rip, but I cannot stomach her clapperjoin.
Oh, well, stir you not, gentlemen. Tis my wife, and tis I shall leave, if you'll be so kind as to hand me my fowling piece, Nicholas.
With all my heart.
Hasten, Rip, hasten.
Fear you not, gentlemen. My good wife shall not catch up with me this day. I'm for the Catskills, and tonight I shall dine on rabbit. Bring it here. Good dog. Ah, Wolf. You're a fine dog and a true friend. I fear my good wife leads your dog's life of it, but never mind. While I live, you'll never want for a friend to stand by you. Come along now. It's growing late, and Dame Van Winkle will have... What is it, Wolf? What is it you see? Oh, silly dog, is not but a little old man.
Quiet,
Wolf. Oh, never have I seen dress like that in these parts. Look at his jerkin and the buttons down the side of his breeches. Stop it, Wolf. Good evening, stranger. That's a good-sized keg for you to be carrying. That's right. Put it down. Rest a while. I said good evening. What's that? You want me to help you with the keg? My, my, you are a silent one. Why didn't you say so instead of pointing? Very well, very well. I'll gladly give you a hand. Where are we taking it? Up the Catskills. I hope it's not far. Oh, it's powerful heavy. There we are. Quiet, Wolf. What have you in this keg? From the gurgling, I should say it was liquor. You can nod your head. Trust Rip Van Winkle to smell out good liquor, even in the Catskills. Want to go this way? Well, well, as you wish. Thought of a good drink sustains me. Oh, what's this? Is this where you live? What? Bless me. They all look like you. Mayhap your brothers? Bless my soul, they're playing nine pins. Yeah, it's a relief to get rid of that load. Well, now I'll see if your relatives are as unsociable as you are. Hello there. Hello. Tis I, Rip Van Winkle, saying hello. What's the matter with you? Don't you hear well? They hear me because they nod. Is it that you can't speak? Well, well, a whole family of mutes and a strange, old, disreputable-looking family, too. Why, now, there's a strange thing. Are there no women in this family? What? No women at all? It's a blessing in a way. My, oh, my, oh, my, you boys certainly drink a good lot. Almost as much as sailors. Now I have it. That's what you remind me of. Good old Dutch sea.
Sailors. Bless my soul.
That's it. It's Hendrik Hudson and his crew.
Oh, I'd better be getting home. Well, gentlemen, I bid you good night now. I must be getting home. What? A drink? Well, if you insist, just one drink.
Oh, powerful liquor. Oh, my poor head. It's spinning like a top. Round.
Curtain falls on Act One of Rip Van Winkle, a presentation of your Playhouse of Favorites. Rip Van Winkle. The curtain rises on Act Two. Rip Van Winkle, in the year 1770, went hunting in the enchanted Catskill Mountains to escape the tongue of a shrewish wife. In the mountains, he fell in with strange people who claimed to be the crew of Captain Hendrik Hudson, long since dead, and had given him a queer and potent drink. Rip immediately lost his senses, fell sound asleep. Now for Act Two of Rip Van Winkle, starring Will Gear in the title role. Find Rip awakening on a bright, sunny morning.
again. Hey, Wolf, we must have slept here through the night. Where is that dog? Wolf? Wolf! Must have had more sense than I and gone home. Ooh, that flagon, that wicked, wicked flagon. What excuse shall I make to Dame Van Winkle? Well, not for it, but to start home.
Did it? See that shot? Oh, good morning, old man. Huh? What are you doing abroad in the mountains so early?
Old man? I care not for that jest.
Oh, your pardon. It's just that watching you limp along so slowly, I thought to...
I have slept all night here, and these mountain beds do not agree with me. And so I'm stiff.
And which way go you now?
To the village.
Oh, that's my way, too. Tell me, those clothes you're wearing, are they the new fashion?
These clothes are... Lackless. I shall have a blessed hard time explaining these rags and tatters to my good wife.
To say nothing of your grandchildren.
Grandchildren? I have no grandchildren. My little daughter is but 8 years old.
Good for you, old man. I like your spirit. Mm. Tell me now, have you shot anything with that gun of yours lately?
It was but yesterday I killed 3 rabbits with this fire.
Careful. Watch your beard. Huh? It's caught in the barrel.
Oh, beard? So I have. Lackaday, my fowling pieces. What is this rusty antiquity? This is not my gun. Those men must have made off with mine and left this rusty thing instead.
A man?
They gave me a drink last night. And
I'd say you'd have more than one drink, Grandpa. Many more than one. But yonder's the village. I'm off from some hunting.
The village? Oh, well, Lord bless my soul. What's come over it? Just teeming with life. Some event of great import must have occurred to warrant all this activity.
Old man, you're a rare one, all right. But if you'll take my advice, you'll get a better tale than the one you told me for your good wife.
And so Rip Van Winkle came back to the village where he'd been born, where everybody had known him and loved him. He found himself a stranger. Strange faces were in the streets. Strange names on the doors. There were rows of houses which he'd never seen before. And those which had been familiar haunts had disappeared. Rip wandered through streets unknown to him, trying to find his house. And when he finally reached it, it was empty, forlorn, abandoned.
That flagon last night has addled my poor head sadly. There seems to be no one about, and I hear not even the sharp voice of my good wife. Dame Van Winkle. Judy. Where are you, my dear? My son? Dame Van Winkle. Judy. Judy. Come out and stop hiding. Alas. Something very strange has happened to me.
Wolf. Come here, Wolf, old dog.
My very dog has forgotten me. What shall I do? What shall I do?
And so a bewildered, frightened Rip Van Winkle hastened forth looking for the bench in the courtyard of the George III and his old friends, Nicholas Vedder, Bram Dutcher, and Derek Van Riper. But when he approached it, he found it greatly changed. The sign over the door read, "The Union Hotel, Jonathan Doolittle, proprietor." And there was a lean, fierce fellow haranguing a crowd in the people's yard where Rip and his friends used to chat so peacefully.
Citizens of the United States of America, this is your Congress and your election. We must make sure that Congress is filled with honest men, the heroes of 76, not the weak-kneed dabblers of 72. We have gained our liberty. We must make sure now that we do not lose it. Vote right, I say. Here, come forward and take these handbills. They will help you elect the proper men to our first Congress. come forward and support the Constitution.
Here, old man, how are you voting? Federal or Democrat?
I have no idea what you mean.
Then ask him what brings him to the election with a gun on his shoulders.
Aye, were you hoping to breed a riot with your old gun and your outlandish costume?
Well, gentlemen, alas, I'm a poor, quiet man, a native of the place, and a loyal subject of the king. What? God bless him.
The Tories!
Fire!
No, please, gentlemen, please. I meant no harm.
Seize him! Hold a moment. Let's hear what he has to say. Hold! We have free speech here now.
I understand nothing of what you good gentlemen are saying. Upon my honor, I merely came here in search of some neighbors.
If that's true, name them.
Where's Nicholas Vedder?
Nicholas Vedder? Why, he's dead and gone these 18 years. There was a wooden tombstone in the churchyard that used to tell all about him, but that's rotten and gone, too.
Where's Brown Dutcher?
Oh, he went off to the army in the beginning of the war.
War?
Some say he was killed at the storming of Stony Point. I don't know. He never came back.
Where's Derek Van Riper, the school teacher?
He went off to the wars, too. Was a great militia general.
And is now in Congress.
Does nobody here know Rip Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle? To be sure, that's Rip Van Winkle yonder, leaning against the tree.
And an idle, good-for-nothing wastrel he is, too.
Well, who are you? What's your name?
God knows. I'm not myself. I'm somebody else. That's me yonder? Oh, no, that's somebody else got into my shoes.
Now. Just sit down and rest, old man. You're all excited.
And so would you be if you were in my place.
I think we'd better have the gun now, old man.
He might do someone a mischief.
Oh, there's no harm in him, but he might hurt himself.
I'm not mad, I tell you.
No, of course not. Just give us the gun.
I tell you, I went hunting rabbits yesterday, and I fell asleep on the mountain. And they changed my gun, they took my dog, and they changed everything.
Of course. And now if you'll just...
Why won't you believe me?
I believe you. Where do you live?
I live yonder, down the street. My wife is gone, my children are gone, the house is empty.
Now, if you went hunting yesterday, you should have known that Brom Dutcher wasn't here.
Nor Nicholas Vedder.
But they were, I tell you. I spoke to them, and Peter van der Donk, too.
You better lock him up.
Hush, baby. Hush, sweet. We just want to look at the old man.
Huh?
He won't hurt you.
Who's that? I know that voice. Who's that?
Let her through. Make way there. Let her pass.
What's your name, my good woman?
Judith Van Vern.
And your father's name?
Oh, poor man. Rip Van Winkle was his name, but it's 20 years now since he went away from home with his gun and has never been heard of since. His dog came home without him. I was then but a little girl.
And your mother?
She died, too. She broke a blood vessel in a fit of rage.
Judith, do you not know me? I am your father. Young Rip Van Winkle once. Old Rip Van Winkle now. Do you not know your old father?
Why? Let me come close. Eh? Oh, Father! Dear Father! But, Father, what happened to you? Did you run away from home?
Nay, child. I went hunting in the Catskills and I met Hedrick Hudson and the crew of the Half Moon.
Oh.
They gave me a drink and that started all the trouble. Oh, I confess I was warned against taking it.
Yes, Father, I know. You don't have to tell me anymore. I remember how Mother used to scold you, and I can't say that I blame you.
Judith, listen to me. You were there when I promised to help Peter Van der Donk build an addition to his barn today at noon. You heard it.
Now, Father, you know as well as I that was 20 long years ago. Peter is dead. There's no need to...
Judith, I swear to you, I fell asleep only last... Well, seems like only last night to me. I was on the mountain...
Father, do you remember what we were talking about 20 years ago?
Well, let me see. Just like yesterday, there was... Peter Van der
Donk. No, not Peter.
Oh, yes. You were talking about getting married and how you wanted me to come.
Yes. I wanted you to come and live with me. And I promised that you'd not have to do any work except that which you wanted.
Yes, Judith, but...
Then come along with me and young Rip. You see, I hadn't forgotten you. You'll have naught to do but sleep and fish and hunt. All day.
Gladly, my child, but
I swear that Hendrick Hudson and those others with him are the ones who gave me that wicked likeness.
Rip Van Winkle lived for many years to sit in the courtyard of the Union Hotel telling his story to whomever would listen. And to this day, no thunderstorm comes rolling out of the Catskills over the Hudson Valley, but you'll hear the people say that Hendrick Hudson and his crew are at a game of ninepins again. And it's a common wish of all henpecked husbands in the valley that they might have a draft out of Rip Van Winkle's flagon. So the curtain falls on the story of Rip Van Winkle by Washington Irving, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites. Robert Anthony Dean, reminding you that front row seats are reserved for you the next time our curtain rises on another romantic classic, presented for your favorite listening pleasure by your Playhouse of Favorites.